Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, head to our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
My name's Rob. I am the worship coordinator here, part of the bands here. And today I'm going to talk on a second part of our Kingdom Ministry series. So, I grew up in a home where love was shown, but not necessarily always verbally expressed. So we knew we loved each other, me and my family. We knew there was a lot of love in our family, but we just didn't always feel the need to say so. And my dad's job took him all around the world, but it was so catastrophically dull that my friends used to believe that he must be a spy instead. They all thought it was a cover job for him, which, while quite fun to think about, did mean that he would be away for long periods of time. And my subconscious understanding of fatherhood was, for many years, always that a father was a bit distant. We went to church every week. I learned a lot of liturgy. I learned a lot of theology. I could quite happily list some of the attributes of God, like facts I'd read in a book. I technically knew that he was good, and he was kind, and he was loving, and he was powerful. But these things didn't always truly mean something to me personally. Then one day, when I was about 18 years old, I was listening to a live recording of a praise album. And in a moment of solitary worship, I heard the worship leader singing out the phrase, "He is proud of you," in a spontaneous song that was recorded for the album. And I love this album so much. I listened to it all the time. It was on my top playlists at the time. But somehow, I'd never noticed that line before. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit encountered my heart in a real way, and I was brought to the brink of tears. Somehow, these weren't just words sung by some distant guy who has never met me before. This was my Father speaking to me in heaven, singing over me right to my heart. And in that moment of quiet praise that was just between me and God, his love jumped out of the textbooks and struck the deepest part of me. Suddenly, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was proud of me and that he loved me. Today, I want to kind of touch upon some aspects of Kingdom ministry. So here are some words: intimacy, accessibility, integrity, Kingdom expectation, and passion. Can anybody tell me what these terms may refer to in our Vineyard context? Worship, yes, yes. That's right, these are the Vineyard worship values. So I'm going to look over a couple of them today. If you knew that, so right at the back, you deserve a gold star. We as a movement, we use these terms to capture the essence of sung worship. It's a way to kind of describe what we see. And that's what it looks like across all of our churches. Whether the music style of an individual church might be slightly different, that's what it looks like. These five values help us to, as a worship team, to understand and express worship in a helpful and loving way with the church to God. And they underpin every expression of worship that we have in the Vineyard. So this morning, I want to unpack one particular value as it relates to us in the series on a Kingdom ministry. And that is Kingdom expectation. But before I go on to focus on that particular point, I want to just have a quick whistle-stop tour of each, just to explain how they relate to us in our context at South. So, firstly, intimacy. It goes without saying that worship is intimate. It is an expression of love to our Father. Like a child given a gift to their parent, that is what we do when we worship. Songwriters, they give songs to the church by putting music to their prayers and sending them out to the wider church to use as their own gifts, giving honor and praise to God. Intimacy emphasizes our desire to be close to God. and how crucial worshipping him is in our pursuit of this closeness. As we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And as we enter into his courts praising, he is welcomed into our midst. And so singing praises to God cultivates intimacy with him. It's a reflection of what we see throughout the Psalms. And the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which is basically a document of truths that unite the church together, says that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. What a statement. Man, so humanity, us, everyone, that's all of us, our chief end, our goal is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. There's a two-way relationship there. We glorify God and we get to enjoy his presence forever. Accessibility. We want to worship all together, collectively. It's really, really important. That's why at South we have everyone in at the start. It's really important to have collective, accessible worship. That means that the songs that we choose and the keys that we sing them in, we choose them specifically so that the most people in the church can join in. Simple songs of adoration are best. The angels in heaven, they are singing holy, holy, holy forever, and we don't really want to overcomplicate it much more than that. There are times to express certain parts of worship, certain feelings, but actually we don't want to make it more complicated than that. So we want it to be accessible. We value it because we want it to be a welcoming environment for everyone to come and behold the King of Kings and to build as many bridges between people possible as possible, both musically and pastorally during our times of worshipping him together. So we pick songs that we feel God is speaking to us through, songs that bring our collective gaze to the Lord. It's all about giving the praises back to God, all about the worship of our King. Integrity. Worship is to God, but it comes from us. And we want to bring everything that we have to that. As a church, whether it's been a good week or a bad week, whether it's our favourite song or a song that we just don't like, we want to bring it all to the foot of the cross. Be real with God. Worship is a time to be vulnerable. Worship is a time to bring your pain, bring your suffering, bring your joy, bring your wonder, bring everything to God. God wants it all. It is relational. Jesus said in John 4 that a time was coming and even has come when people will worship God in spirit and in truth. And today is that day. Today, we are invited to come just as we are to worship him. Everyone is invited. We don't want to come to church and just sing some songs and go home. Worship is an opportunity to be changed by the power and the presence of God. Passion. Each song or expression of worship says something about God. And we, as a worship team, we are here to help the church express that. To sing praises with passion accents the words. It gives them life. And it's not just for us as a worship team, it's for everyone as a church. Singing songs with passion gives those words and accents, gives them life. That's why if we sing joyful songs, we want that to impact deeply into our souls, for that to bubble up out of us. It's why theology and worship songs is so important, because it sinks deep into our souls, and we want that to bubble up out of us. But singing with passion doesn't mean sticking a smile on, just when everything, pretending everything is right and everything is good. If we're broken inside, it means acknowledging the truth of who God is in all circumstances, with all of our heart, letting our adoration of him outshine everything else as we turn our eyes to worship him. So those are the other ones, but kingdom expectation is where I want to kind of focus a bit of our time together here. So I'll go into a little bit more depth. When we join together in sung worship, things change. Worship is eternal. It has been before us, and it will be around after us. All through church history, people have gathered together to worship. We are joining in this eternal song of praise to God. And in this moment, we get to jump in and join in with those angels that are singing, "Holy, holy, holy, forever." We can worship wherever we are, in whatever context we're in. We can worship corporately. We can worship alone, through music, or in silence. It can be quiet, it can be loud, it is an act, and it is a lifestyle. We can worship in adoration, thanksgiving, joy, celebration, contemplation, grief. We can worship in so many different ways and through so many different seasons, but ultimately, it is always pointed to give glory to God for who He is. When we worship, we are putting God in His rightful place. Because we are joining in with multitudes in worship with the living God, what we do here has significance. It's really, really important. And that's why in the Vineyard, that's why we hold worship in such high esteem. When Moses, I'll talk about Moses later, we'll move on to that one. If you've been around the Vineyard for any length of time, you've probably heard someone talk about the now and the not yet of the kingdom. Hands up if you've heard of that before. Yeah, good, good. The now and the not yet of the kingdom. This is really, really important and vital to understanding about kingdom expectation in our worship times. The phrase is used to describe the period of time that we live in currently. We are a people between two kingdoms. There was a time before Jesus when people had to perform rituals and fulfill a list of special requirements to come into the presence of God. And only a limited number of people from a very select family line of priests could do that. This is described in many parts of the Old Testament. One example of this would be the Day of Atonement, otherwise known as Yom Kippur. This day involved incense, the blood of a lamb, a scapegoat, a goat was sent out into the wilderness as a sacrifice, the burning of a sacrifice as well. Lots and lots of different parts, lots and lots of rituals, things that would come together to make that experience, all to bring about atonement, at-one-ment, a word that was created for that exact thing, at-one-ment with God. Because of sin, there was a gap between us and God that could only be closed by sacrifice and the rituals that came with that. Then, enter Jesus. Through his life, his ministry, and his death, all of that has been fulfilled once and for all. He was both the great high priest and the ultimate sacrifice, breaking down the barriers between the priesthood and all of the rituals and everybody else. He was the ultimate sacrifice. We are now able to come to God without the need for sacrifice and to sacrifice an animal to atone for our wrongdoing, without the need for those rituals, as it's been done already. As Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It is done. He broke open the kingdom and brought it to earth. This then leaves us in a place between. The kingdom of God has been ushered in, but not yet fully realized. We can see some things come to fruition, but not others. We witness God do incredible healings, and we see signs and wonders, but we also experience living with chronic illness and the death of loved ones. We know that we have a sure hope in Jesus, but we continue to see suffering all around the world as we wait for the fullness of his kingdom to break through with his return. When we worship with expectation of God's kingdom, which is at once here, near, emerging, and yet to be fully realized. We worship seeking to touch heaven and to bring the kingdom of heaven more fully to earth as we press in to encounter the King. We have a gift. We have something that we can reach out and bring to earth, and we want more, and we want to invite that into our lives so that, as we sang in the songs on the way before we started, we can invite the Holy Spirit to come to us and we can take that kingdom out to people. We should be coming to a space of worship, expectant and hungry for his presence. We should come hungry, come holistically, and come expectantly. In Acts 2, 42 to 47, if you've got a device or a Bible, follow along. It says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. That's Acts 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We have been invited to this banqueting table of worship. We come to enjoy God's presence and to be here with him. But it isn't just for us. It's for fellowship. This table, if you imagine, is here for us to sit at together. Laid before us is a range of different foods. Think of them as maybe gifts and fruits of the Spirit, all in front of us to be enjoyed. Now, if we were going to a banquet, we wouldn't just stay at the starters. We would want a bit of everything, a bit of a nibble of everything. We'd go around the table. We'd do lots of different things. We want to enjoy it all, to mingle, to talk to people. It's messy, it's noisy, but it's fun and it's refreshing. And there is some give and there is some take, and this is communion. Sticking with the banquet metaphor, we want to arrive hungry. We can come to a time of worship and praise knowing that we're going to get to enjoy the goodness of God's presence, that we have the privilege of lifting his name together and delighting in him, and we can be expectant that he wants to meet with and transform us too. We get to enjoy him forever. In other words, he's a good father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. We can prepare our hearts for encountering God during these times of feasting when we come together to worship. We can praise him on our own at home, at different points in the week, either by singing, by acting with integrity, or stopping to show someone some compassion. We can pray ahead of the gatherings with one another and ask God to truly meet with us. Before our gatherings here on Sunday, there is a lot of spiritual preparation. There's lots of prayer that goes on. We have a prayer team that everyone's invited to join into that come along. We pray for the services because we want to see God move. As a worship team, when we are practicing, when we are preparing to bring worship on Sundays, there is a lot of, again, spiritual preparation that goes on behind the scenes. And it's really, really important to arrive because that helps you come hungry for the Holy Spirit. Because of Jesus actively living as a divine human being without sin, performing miracles, he turned the kingdom from a noun into a verb, a doing word. As followers of Jesus, we can have an active role in bringing the kingdom to earth. So in today's topic, when we come with an expectation to see the kingdom break through during worship, it changes how we engage with worship. It can no longer be a self-satisfying, a self-gratifying moment, but it becomes an active moment towards the Father. We are being ushered in to something greater. We can see worship with new eyes. Think about things. How can I partner with what God is doing right now? Can I see anyone who the Spirit is resting on? Looking around, we are family. We are here together, gathered to worship God together. Can I see one of the members of my family where the Spirit is resting on them? Can I pray for them? Can I bless them? Can I partner with what God is doing? That is what we do when we come to worship. And that's not to say that coming to worship to receive from God is wrong, not at all. Please don't take that away from what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's understanding that what we can do as a church to be part of the kingdom and bring that kingdom into our midst is crucial. We're in this together, okay? We're all in this together. It's not just, a band and congregation. It's everyone is here together to worship together and bring in the kingdom. That's what we're doing here, church. That's what we're doing. We're bringing the kingdom together. When we worship, we are turning away from our selfishness. We are repenting and we're turning our eyes off of ourselves and we're aligning ourselves with our true identity, which is the identity that we have in Christ, that we are sons and daughters of the living God. And we are turning our eyes to Jesus as we worship. We instruct our hearts as to who our true King is, reminding ourselves to put God and what he has done. We put God back on the throne in our lives. And one of the reasons we can expect the kingdom to move in worship is that singing truth about who God is and what he has done raises the faith temperature in the room. When we tell stories and we sing stories about God's faithfulness, it raises the faith temperature in the room. I'm telling you, you're telling me, we're sharing stories of God's goodness together and we're bringing the kingdom to earth and we're showing others what the kingdom looks like. In our day-to-day lives, we aren't often paying attention to the Holy Spirit. But when we make time to worship God, we do pay attention. When we intentionally set aside time to focus on God. In the Old Testament, Moses climbed the mountain to intercede with God for the people. He entered into God's presence. When he returned, he had to wear a veil on his face because he freaked people out with how glorious his face was. I don't know if Moses was particularly attractive, but it was God's glory reflecting from his face. Now, we can all ascend the mountain of worship together and come into God's presence. And in Corinthians, it says we can return with unveiled faces because we are all reflecting the same glory, the glory of his presence. That's what it looks like when we ask for God's kingdom to come. Coming holistically to worship. Bill Johnson, a preacher in America, his wife died in the last few years. And after his wife died, I think she might have died on the Tuesday, he was due to preach on the Sunday. His team gave him the option. They said, Bill, you don't have to preach, which is understandable. But he took the opportunity to speak, and he gave a really powerful message. Instead, he took that opportunity, and he said this: worshipping in pain is only possible this side of heaven. So this is a privilege. That quote can encompass so much in the worship we bring. It's only on this side of heaven that we can bring worship through pain and suffering. We can come holistically. We come into his presence fully. When we come into his kingdom presence, there will be no pain. There will be no suffering. And I don't even know if we'll remember pain and suffering when we are fully with him in heaven. But we have an opportunity now, in the here and now, to bring everything we are to God. We no longer need to make sacrifices like the Old Testament, but when we worship God in the midst of suffering, it is a sacrifice of the heart, an offering he honors when we bring it. If we hold things back from God when we worship, we risk missing an opportunity to get to know him afresh. In the passage from Acts we've heard this morning, we see that the early church devoted themselves to one another. Every day they met together, they communed, and the Lord added to their number daily. Meeting together, getting to know each other and knowing your community is vital in the worship, because we can come real to God. We can come real and holistically to the times of worship. In the midst of their worship, more people were saved. They saw the reality of life, and they saw the reality of the kingdom, and they saw those things merged, and that was attractive to people, and that brought people into the kingdom. They then made room for people in their gatherings. Paul and Silas, in the Bible, they are characters from the Bible. They are Paul was a preacher, went around with Silas doing lots of different things, and one of the stories they tell in the Bible, he has been preaching and in the midst of this had cast out an evil spirit from a slave woman. It's quite a funny story because he does it because he's annoyed with her because she won't stop bothering him in his preaching. So he casts an evil spirit out of this woman. And actually, from what he did, this massively affected the profits of her owner because she was actually a slave. And so the slave owners brought Paul and Silas in front of the magistrates at the time to be prosecuted. And in Acts 16, 22 to 25, it says that the crowd also, so they were just preaching to the crowd, but then this crowd then joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received his orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet to the stocks. So about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So then the story goes on to explain that from their worship came an earthquake, which broke down the walls of the prison, and the prisoners were able to escape, but they didn't. They stayed and they helped the jailer. And they helped the jailer and his family come to know Christ. The kingdom broke in, quite literally, but lives were changed. From their worship, they invited the kingdom in, but lives were changed. And this is what happens when we worship and we bring the kingdom in. Lives change. Nearly 9 years ago, my sister-in-law died. She was 22. This was unimaginable pain for my family. And at the time, our children were very young. So Snow, my daughter, she was only 6 months old at this time. And in the midst of all this pain and this horrible journey that my family had to go on, I had the honor of being able to lead my family in worship in her funeral and at her graveside. So when we had a small graveside gathering, I was able to lead worship at that gathering. And we sung and we mourned and we worshiped through tears. And we worshiped and we thanked the Lord for Alice, and we thanked the Lord for her life and who she was. But we also sang of our brokenness. We also sang through tears because we felt this was wrong and it hurt. But we brought it to God, and we said, God, what is happening? And we worshipped through those tears. It was hard, but it was a privilege to be held by God at that time, the God of all comfort in the midst of pain and suffering, of which we will only know this side of heaven. I tell you that to tell you this. Bring everything to God. Worship in spirit and in truth, he can handle it. He can handle our pain, our suffering, and our joy, and the goodness we want to express to him. Bring everything in worship. We can come to worship expectantly. So we've brought everything holistically. We're coming hungry to worship. We can now come expectantly. We can expect God's presence. In the midst of worship, anything can happen. The power of God is present as we worship. Psalm 22 says that God inhabits the praises of his people. When Jesus is enthroned as king in a space, he establishes his kingdom in our hearts, which means we come under his authority once more. So when we come to worship, we can expect that God will be on the move. He inhabits the praises of his people. We can expect and we can ask God to come to us when we worship. When we come to worship, we can expect that God will be on the move, bringing healings, salvation, freedom, deliverance, vision, calling, peace, victory, and much more. We can expect all of this. We can expect God to come and give good gifts to us. We can expect God to be part of what we're doing because he loves us and he wants to be with us. And we just ask and say, God, come, Holy Spirit. It's not just a time of singing songs. It's an opportunity to meet with our Creator God, the risen Son, and encounter the power of his Spirit. It is a powerful time. Even this week, as I was writing my talk, just a quick thing to end. As I was writing my talk, my son came to me and he talked to me and he explained to me that he'd experienced the Holy Spirit for the first time during worship last week. And he described it to me like drinking warm honey whilst he was worshiping God. And he just knew that God loved him. And then he told me that his knee that was hurting, he'd been limping for a couple of days, he'd hurt it before, and it was healed, all in worship, and all in an encounter with God. This is what I want for us, church, to have kingdom encounters every time we worship. God is in the midst of his people every time we worship. He has promised that to us, and we can open our eyes to see that. Let's bring the kingdom into our worship and let's choose to be with him. Can the band come up if that's all right? I think as we move into a time of worship, it'd be really good if we could all stand together, if you're able to. And I'll just pray as we come into time of worship. Father God, we pray that you would be with us in this time of worship, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, come and pour out your good gifts, pour out your wonderful blessings to your people, Lord. And I just pray that as we worship, as we come to turn our eyes to you, that you would pour out your love and your Spirit on us, Lord. We pray that you would be with us as we get to know you and as we cry out for your kingdom to come. We invite you here today. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
We'd love to welcome you to one of our gatherings. We meet in multiple locations at multiple times on Sundays, as well as in midweek small groups across the city. More information on all of these can be found at our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day and God bless.